Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our victorious King, the Lord of life, the Lord of death, the resurrection, the life. Amen. I want to talk about the Gospel, Luke 7, this wondrous miracle of our Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, always help us to hear, help us to believe your word. May we digest it spiritually in our hearts for faith, understanding, peace and joy and strength. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who here likes meetings? Looking for a hand that likes meetings. Emma, you're rare. Maybe you have a meeting tomorrow and you just are thrilled. You can't wait to go to that meeting at work. We tend not to like meetings a whole lot. Meetings can be long. Meetings can be boring. People can argue in meetings. And then you leave feeling like, what did we accomplish at this meeting? In the gospel lesson today, Luke 7, we have a dramatic, powerful, amazing, wonderful meeting that we're glad to be at. We're the eyewitnesses of this meeting. And what a dramatic, incredible meeting it is. Picture the scene of Luke 7. You have Jesus, the Son of God, who has a great crowd with him, we read, and they are entering the gate of the city of Nain. Nain's a little town up in Galilee, and they're entering by way of the city gate. Big crowd, Jesus. This is a crowd of life. There's joy, there's laughter, smiles. I mean, Christ is the great miracle worker. He's done miracles. They're happy with Jesus. He preaches so well. They love Christ. Many of them believe, or at least sort of believe. It's a lively, happy, joyous crowd. They're with Jesus. What's he going to do in Nain? What new miracle will he do? What will he teach here? That's that crowd. And then you have them meeting a different crowd coming out of the city of Nain. And it's entirely different. It's led by a boy in a basket being carried by people on shoulders because he's dead. Tragedy. A young man that's dead. And close by is his mother, a widow, weeping and wailing. She'd been out that gate once before with her husband. Buried him, we don't know how long before. And now again, her only son. What's she going to do? No son, no husband? And you got a considerable crowd, Luke tells us. What are they doing? Smiles and laughter? No, crying, weeping, wailing. It's a city tragedy in Nain. What a meeting at that gate. What a meeting. We get to read about it. We're eyewitnesses. You have life meeting death. We're at the gate. What will happen? You have joy meeting sorrow. You have the Prince of Peace meeting people of pain. You have Christ meeting crying and weeping. You have the Son of God meeting the dead son of a widow. What will happen at this meeting? May I mention three things about this dramatic meeting of life and death? It's a good meeting. First of all, it's a simple, straightforward meeting. At this meeting, there's not five things on the agenda. There aren't four things on the agenda. There's not three things or two things on the agenda. There's one thing on the agenda at this meeting. What's the one thing on the agenda? What's the one thing on Jesus' mind and in Jesus' heart? He is there to conquer death, to raise this boy from the dead and give him back to his mom, that there be joy and no longer sorrow. In thee is gladness, we just read, amid all sadness, we just sang earlier. That's the one item on the agenda. When Jesus meets this dead boy, it's not an accident. Well, it's just coincidence. He just so happens to walk up at that time when they're having a funeral. Oh, what do you make of that? This is not some accident, some coincidence. This is divine providence. Christ has arranged this entire meeting in public. He's arranged the entire thing so that the funeral procession is coming out. He's going in at the gate right there that he might, right in front of all these crowds, his crowd, the funeral crowd, raise this boy from the dead and show himself to be the Son of God. Christ is fearless. He goes right to the dead boy. When we go to a funeral, a visitation, we're always a bit shy to go up near the body. We're not real comfortable with that. We're not real comfortable touching the body. We're not sure if we want to even look at it. We shy away. When we have a funeral procession go by in cars, we don't stop the hearse. I'm going to raise this person from the dead. Stop. We let people go by politely out of respect, which we should do. If we're part of the crowd, we just drive behind, sad, lights on, going to the cemetery or wherever we're going. Jesus is bold, fearless. He stops the funeral. Any funeral Christ is at, he ruins the funeral because he raises the person from the dead. He stops the entire thing. He's fearless. He's the aggressor. Never think of Jesus as some passive weakling. When he comes to earth, he is on the move. This town, Nain, Capernaum, Nazareth. He's on the move, conquering sin, forgiving sin, conquering sickness and disease. He goes after it. He drives out demons. He raises the dead. He's on the move as the great Lion of Judah, hunting evil and doing away with all evil. That's Christ, fearless. Simple agenda. I'm here to give life where there's death, and I alone can give it. The widow can't save her son. She probably tried, but he's dead. The crowd can't do anything about it. Jesus' crowd can do nothing except watch and wail. One person can do something about death, and that's Jesus. You know, I was mowing the grass this week, and we have woods behind our backyard, and I was cutting near the wooded area. And guess what was on the ground? A snake. About a foot long, foot and a half long, little snake withering along trying to get back to the woods. What did big, strong, tough, fearless Pastor Busher do? I have a lawnmower in my hands, by the way, too. What did I do? Ah! A snake. Jeff, you've seen him. You're a veterinarian. What am I going to do? I mean, I got a lawnmower. I'm a big, huge guy. A little bit tiny snake. I don't even know what it was. But I had visions of what Richard Haynes has told me about my backyard. You probably got copperheads back there. You might have rattlesnakes back there. You might have a cobra back there. Who knows what's back there? You have some monster back there. You better keep your kids away from the forest back there. I have all these visions of this monstrous snake. I made him from a one-foot snake into a 10-foot python of some sort. It's going to kill me. And so I backed away. Go first, snake. We all probably do that, most of us, with a snake. Fear. And we're a lot more afraid of things than just snakes. As you sit here today, you're afraid of something, and don't tell me you're not because you're a sinner. You're afraid of a disease, a sickness, afraid of death, what's going to happen, the future, my job, family conflict, my marriage. I'm afraid. Christ is fearless. He heads right to it to give life and peace. Secondly, this meeting is short. It's a good meeting. It's a short meeting. This is a Bill Hunzi type of meeting. Let's call a question and get the meeting over with. I like that. Get this thing over with. Get the business done. How long does this meeting last between life and death? A few seconds? Maybe a minute or two? The funeral procession stops. Jesus says to the woman, stop crying, lady. Stop crying. You know, what a weird thing to say. I was always taught, I never stated to someone to stop crying. You know, same, it's okay to cry. It's hard. It's okay to get the tears out. Stop crying. He's the only one that can take away tears. I can't take away your tears, but he can. Stop crying. Then he touches the buyer. It's a basket that the guy's in. Not really a coffin, more like a basket. He's covered up in it. He touches it. This is very, very dramatic. He is taking the death of the young man to himself. This is an unclean act by Jesus. You don't touch dead people. You don't touch dead stuff. But he touches it. They're all, what's he touching it for? He's taking death into himself, giving life and taking death. He's conquering it all for this young man and for all of us. And it's over. Young man arrives. The guy sits up, gives him back to his mom. It's a few seconds, a few minutes, and the crowd is happy. A prophet's visited us. Who is this guy? They were crying and weeping and sobbing, now glorifying God, and they're happy. All within a few seconds, maybe a minute or two. What a Lord. It is so easy for him. When I read miracles, it's all so easy for Jesus. Notice what Elijah has to do to raise somebody from the dead. Elijah had to take the guy upstairs to his room and cry over him, Lord God, do something, pray, and lay on the guy three times. There's a lot of effort. Jesus, I don't have to take the guy anywhere. Do it right here. Word, touch, you're up. Let's go. Elijah's not God. Jesus is God. It's a lot easier for him. This is for our confidence. It's not like good and evil or, oh, what's going to happen? Which one's going to win? God, the devil, which one's going to win? Life, death, which one's going to win? I'm not real sure. Your God is victorious. It's a blowout victory for Jesus Christ. Have confidence in this Jesus and follow him. And who wouldn't want to follow after this miracle? You know, there was a world record perhaps set in California this week off the California coast. I read where it might be a world record. Fishermen caught a shark. And the shark they caught, over 1,300 pounds of shark. You know how long it took for them to struggle and bring that shark up on the boat? At least 2 to 3 hours of battling that shark, wearing that shark out. They finally got that shark up. A struggle. And there's much in the Christian life that's a struggle. Much in the Christian life is a struggle. Battling temptation is like battling a shark. Can I ever conquer this? Will it ever happen for me? Bearing the fruits of the Spirit is a struggle. Will I ever bear good fruit when all I do is bear bad fruit? Prayer is a struggle. We always are praying. God sometimes doesn't sound like he's listening. We pray and pray. Please, God, do something. Learning's this way. We don't know the Bible after one day of reading it. We have to keep learning and growing because our minds are so numb to God and we don't want God. Learning and growing takes time. So much of the Christian life is time and effort and struggle. But when Jesus speaks, there's no struggle. When he touches, there's no struggle. And this is our covenant. This is our confidence. When Jesus says to Taryn Ellie, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, right then and there, the Spirit comes and there's new life and there's salvation and there's resurrection of the soul right then and there. You don't have to wait around for it. They're God's children right now. They have eternal life right now. No waiting around. Instant. The strength of God, the power of God. When you commune, Jesus touches you. He touches you in baptism. He touches you here. Your mouth he touches. My body, my blood. You're forgiven. You're righteous. You're saved right now. When I say you're forgiven of your sins, you don't have to wait around for it for a day or two. It happens right now. You're washed and cleansed. You're pure. It happens right now. This is fast food church. It happens right now by the power of Christ and his word. It's fast food resurrection here, folks. It happens. Have confidence in that as you struggle in your walk of faith. And then last of all, this meeting is successful. It is simple, it is short, and it is successful. When you meet Jesus, he does things. So many meetings that I've been a part of here or there, you go home grumpy, frustrated. What did we ever really accomplish? Seemed like a waste of an hour or two to me. You've been to the same kind of meeting. This meeting, no one goes home grumpy and sad. You have resurrection. A boy comes back to life. Give him back to his mom. That's what Jesus does. When you meet Jesus here and he speaks to you and he touches you in the sacrament, it happens. You have new life. You're forgiven. You're God's child. That's why you want to come, because Christ gives word and touch here and raises the dead spiritually to life. This miracle is really a model of the entire ministry of Jesus. There are 8 things he does, which really, it's just 7 verses long. It's a great picture of what Christ does, his whole ministry. First of all, he comes to name. Christmas, God comes to earth. Next 3 things he does, he sees. The text says he saw the woman. And then he has compassion, thirdly. He's moved inside. See, we don't have enough compassion. We look at people that are hurting. Ah, it's their fault. Look the other way. I don't have time. God has compassion. He's moved inside. He pities people. Oh, may we have that kind of pity and compassion and not be so dead in our hearts towards people. He has compassion, thirdly. He says to the widow, stop crying. And soon she will stop crying. He makes it happen. All that reminds me of the 3-year ministry of Jesus, where he is ever speaking to people words of comfort. He's ever being with people, having compassion, seeing people that no one else sees. And then he touches. This is Good Friday foreshadowing. He reaches out his hands. Everybody's watching his hands. He's touching. He's going to touch death. Good Friday, his hands are out. Everybody's looking. He's touching death. Giving us life, taking our death. That's the cross. I give you my life and take your death that you may live. I'll give you salvation. I'll give you salvation and take your sin. I give you my righteousness and take your wickedness. That's the cross. That's the sacraments. It's all right here. And then the boy rises, Easter, in the last day. And then finally, number 8, he gives him back to his mom. The last day, the reunion of all the saints. And we long to be with people that we miss. Reunited. How the mom must cry tears of joy. My son's alive. That'll be the last day. It's all right here from Christmas to the last day in one little 7-verse miracle. You know, we have to change history books, I understand now. Did you know that the Wright brothers were not the first ones in flight? Supposedly. Heard on the national news just last night where they actually have some congressman in Connecticut is arguing that a fellow from Connecticut, some guy, what was his name, Whitehead, in 1901 was the first one to fly, not 1903 by the Wright brothers. I don't care. Who cares? Give credit to both of them. What I want you to care about is this. Who here is going to fly one day? Not many of you are going to fly, huh? You're going to stick on this earth and die and go to hell, huh? Who's going to fly? You're going to rise from the dead because of Christ. You're going to rise from the dead with a brand new body, and you will fly into paradise and not by some jet. You rise by the power of your Lord, and you'll ascend into heaven and live in glory and be united with all the saints. That's what's going to happen. And so why are you so downcast? Stop your crying and your weeping. God give you a glad heart. What a meeting. Simple, short, successful, just the way we like it. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.